Well, this morning we're continuing in a portion of Scripture that has very specific instructions for us as Christians, how we're to walk. Very specific commands to Christians in specific roles, how God wants us to walk. Last week we discussed what God's expectations were for the marriage, specifically the role of the husband and the wife in the marriage. This morning now, we're going to consider God's expectations for the family. And what I mean by family is the parent-child relationship, what God expects. Let's read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Four verses there. Let me start off by saying, children, your parents are a blessing from the Lord to you. They're a blessing to you. They're not a drag. They might be a little old-fashioned, but they're not a drag. They're a blessing from God to you. Parents, your children are a blessing from the Lord to you. In fact, the Bible teaches that children are a reward from the Lord. Psalm 127 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." Children and parents, you're a blessing to one another. And a godly parent-child relationship is vital to the health of the individuals involved. It's vital to the family. It's vital to society. The parent-child relationship is so important. I don't think I need to convince anyone of that here this morning. And yet, the parent-child relationship is often neglected by parents and by children. And I think there's a tendency for parents and children to give up on it. It might be hard at sometimes, or it might get very difficult. And the tendency is to give up. This is much too hard than I thought. Listen, one person said, if it was going to be easy to raise kids, it never would have started with something called labor. It is difficult. It can be tough. But it's so rewarding, and it's so important. Parents in our society, I believe, are also confused about the family. Children are confused about what a family is. And I'm not just talking the society, I'm talking even in the church. And you know what? That is so sad. It's ironic that there could be confusion among the church, considering the volumes upon volumes upon volumes of books that have been written about Christian parenting. I looked on my bookshelf. I have many books on parenting. John MacArthur, Successful Christian Parenting. Ted Tripp, Shepherding a Child's Heart. I have the Growing Kids God's Way materials. I have stuff by James Dobson. I now have stuff by Sears. All kinds of books have been written on Christian parenting. And you know what? I have nothing against those books. I think they're great. I think you can learn some things from them. However, still, parenting can be confusing. This morning, I want us to set all the books aside for a minute. And I want us to look at one book. Actually, four verses in one book. Very simple, very straightforward. They contain God's expectations for children and for parents. Let's just focus right in on those verses. at this point. Let's deal with children, what God expects for children, first of all. Obviously, as we read that text, children are called by the Lord to obey their parents. Verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. Children, God has called you to obey your parents. That is God's expectation of you in the family. Listen carefully. That word to obey is a Greek word, hupakouo. It comes from two words. It's very important how this is translated. First word is hupo, a word that means under or from a subordinate position. Akouo is the second word, and that can be translated to hear, to understand, and to heed. So you put them together, and it means to hear, understand, and heed from a subordinate position in the family. And that's the first thing, children, you need to know. Your role in the family is one of a subordinate position. You are under your parents' authority. Child, you're not in charge. God hasn't put you in charge. God has put your parents in charge. And to obey means to listen intently, intently to your parents and to conform completely to their commands. Children, you're to listen intently to your parents and conform completely to their commands. That's what God has called you to do. To obey. And it's important that you don't not only just hear commands, but that you also do them. Don't be like the little girl Beverly, who was playing with her toys and her mother noticed that her shirt was dirty. So she called Beverly. Beverly, come here, I'm going to change your shirt. No response. Beverly, no response. So then she finally used that code that really means seriousness. Beverly Elizabeth Provost, did you hear me? Little Beverly answered, yeah, my ears did, but my legs didn't. That's not obedience, man. We're called to hear. Children, you're called to listen intently and conform completely to your parents. God has placed them in authority over you. That's what He's done. I think obedience would also include the right attitude that accompanies that obedience. When mom and dad give you a command, you're not only to hear and do, but you should do it with the right attitude. And I have found that kids are not very good at hiding their attitudes. I wasn't when I was a kid. I remember when my dad used to have me wash the car every week, every Saturday, that was part of my chore. And folks, I didn't have a very good attitude, and I'll tell you what, that's when my dad would bust me. Because he knows the attitude. I'd go up there and just kind of slop the soap on and do kind of a shoddy job. You know, I may have been obeying my parents in action, but I sure wasn't in heart. Parents or children, you're called to obey your parents. To hear, to do, and to do it with the right attitude. Obedience to parents is not very popular in this day and age. If you look around our society, you see a lot of disobedience. And you know what's scary, Christians? The Bible specifically says that disobedience to parents will be a characteristic of the last days. Did you know that? That's what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He wrote this. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Boy, that's quite a list that describes what the end times will look like. And notice what's right in the middle of that list. Disobedience to parents. I believe we're living in a day and age where disobedience to parents is rampant. It's scary. There are movies that glorify rebellion. There are role models that Hollywood puts before children that glorify rebellion. Children on the internet get all sorts of weird ideas. One rapper, in one of his songs, these are the words. Hi kids, do you like violence? Want to see me stick 9-inch nails through each one of my eyelids? Want to copy me and do exactly like I did? Goes on to say, by the way, when you see my dad, tell him I slit his throat in this dream I had. What kind of culture do we live in that allows people to make songs like that? And yet that is the culture in which our children live. Disobedience is rampant. Christian young person, son, daughter, God has called you to obey your parents. Do it. Honor them. Show respect to them. They're your God-given authority. The music and the Hollywood industry, they're tools of the devil to destroy you. Say no to them. Obey your parents. Goes on to say, not only that we obey, but in verse 2 it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Honor them. The word there in the Greek is timao, and it can be translated a number of ways. To honor can mean to prize. To prize. To place a high value upon. To revere. I love that. Children, God has called you to prize your parents. To give them honor. It speaks of an inward feeling of respect. Holding parents in great awe and the deepest of respect. Very strong word, this honor. It's used in John chapter 5. Telling Christians how we are to honor God the Father. It says in John chapter 5 that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Same word. How we're supposed to give honor and reverence to God. That's how children are supposed to give honor and reverence to their parents. You look around our society and you'll notice that many children don't give honor to their parents today. There's phrases that are used. I have a real problem with the phrase, my old man. Or my old woman. Referring to father or mother. And you hear them say it. My old man won't let me do this. My old man, this is this. That's so disrespectful. That's not showing honor. There are children that, in this day and age, that go around cursing their parents. It's a good thing they didn't live in the nation of Israel when the law was enforced. Exodus chapter 21 verse 17 says, and he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. That's how serious God is about that. Honor. Children, you're to have a deep-seated respect for parents. Now listen, I want to say something here. I believe that honor also applies to us as adult children. We're all children in here. Now, I believe that children that are under the direct control of their parents until they leave the home, the obedience applies to them. They are called to obey their parents in the Lord and to have honor. Once the child has grown up and left the home, there is still that command to honor your father and mother. I believe we as adult children should honor our fathers and our mothers. And I would really hope that that could be heartfelt. I would really hope. But I do understand that some of you have parents who have let you down, that have hurt you deeply. Yet still, even in that case, you are called by the Lord to honor your father and mother, even if you have to work on the heartfelt part of it. We're called to honor them. I think part of honoring our fathers and mothers as adult children is taking care of them when they get older. Our parents will get older. Many of you have parents that are older now. They're in their older years and they need help. They need their physical needs to be taken care of. By showing honor to your father and mother, I think you'll take care of them. You should. You should be concerned. Man, they took care of you for how many years? Honoring our fathers and mothers is taking care of them. You know, Jesus busted the Pharisees on that one day. Holy Joe, spiritual Pharisee, comes walking down the street. They asked Jesus a question, something irrelevant. And Jesus pointed out their hypocrisy concerning how they were treating their older parents. He said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death.' But you say, Pharisee, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is now a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother.' Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition." You know what the Pharisees were doing? They were required by the law to honor their father and mother, to take care of them when they got older. These Pharisees said, "Well, the financial support that I was going to give to you, mom and dad, I've now given to God. It's a gift to the Lord now. Therefore, I'm out of funds. I can't help you, mom and dad." Jesus busted them. Hypocrisy. We are called by the Lord, I believe, to honor our father and mother through all the stages. Children still at home, even as adults. Why? Why is this so important? Well, let's look at some reasons. The first reason, I believe, is children, you're to obey your parents because you're a Christian. If you're here this morning, you're a child, you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you are a Christian, you are required to obey your parents because God has said so. And as Christians, we obey Him. Verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Now, there are some that try to twist that. There are some that say, what that really says there is that children are only obligated to obey their parents who are in the Lord. In other words, children should only have to obey Christians, Christian parents, believing parents, parents who are in the Lord. That's inaccurate. It's not true. God has set parents in authority in the family. Children are to obey their parents. That could really be translated, obey your parents for the Lord's sake. The idea is, in the Lord, Christian child, as service rendered unto the Lord, obey your parents. That's the idea. Children, you're to obey your parents because you're a Christian. Because you obey the Lord for the Lord's sake. You know what that means? If you're disobeying your parents, you're disobeying directly the Lord. If you're obeying your parents, you're obeying the Lord. Now, there is a place where obedience can and must stop. And that is in the situation where parents ask their children to do something that is in direct conflict with the Word of God. At that point, the principle in Acts chapter 5, verse 29 becomes operative, where it says, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Children, you're to obey your parents for the Lord's sake in all things, except in cases when your parents tell you to do something that is in direct conflict with God's Word. I met a little girl, 14-year-old, Tamara, when I was in Hungary a few years back. she'd become a Christian. Her parents refused to allow her to read her Bible. They said, if we catch you reading your Bible, we're going to throw you in a mental institute. This little Tamara, late in the night, would be under the covers of her bed with a flashlight, reading her Bible, because she loved the Lord. We're to obey God, not men, in situations like that. There's another reason. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Very simple. Why, children? This is right. The word means good, equitable, just, ordered. The idea is, children, obey your parents in the Lord because God has said so. God has established an order for the family. It's right. By the way, Colossians 3:20, which is a parallel passage on this, says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. I like that too. Not only are you obeying Him, you're pleasing Him, and you're doing that what's right. Other reasons, children, is because there are potential blessings that you will have in life if you obey your parents. Notice what it says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. Hey, those are pretty neat potential blessings, huh? That's a quote from the law, one of the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, this law is put in effect. And there's blessings that are associated with that command, honor your father and mother. One of the blessings is a long life, quality, or quantity of life, let's call it. Verse 3, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Now, there's some confusion about that verse, and let me tell you why. That, many folks come with that question. If one honors their father and mother, does that absolutely guarantee that they will have a long life? The question becomes something like this. Every person who's died young, does that mean that they disobeyed their parents? No, it doesn't. There are people that try to explain this, though. They say, listen, this blessing applied only to the nation of Israel. It applied only to the children within the camp of Israel. God said, God made a covenant with them. He would be their God. They would have dwell in the land. They would have all these blessings as long as children obeyed their parents. That was part of the promise, part of the blessing. That could be because, you know, in the Old Testament, you know what was enforced for disobedience? Capital punishment. If a child didn't obey his parents, they were stoned. That was part of the law, folks. You would honor your father and mother that you may live longer on the earth if you were in that situation. Absolutely. So it may have been that. But I think people overlook the obvious here. When we get into this issue, let me read verse 3 again and let me emphasize one word. That it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. You know what that's telling me? That's telling me that this is a general principle. The idea is that in general, those that obey their parents have a longer life on the earth. Now, there are some things that happen out of the control of an obedient child. Accidents happen. Children die. But a child that's obeying his parents has a running shot at living longer on the earth. There's probably good indication here that a child will not die because he's been disobedient in some way. Think about it. If a child is warned time and time again not to cross the street without looking both ways, to cross this, always look both ways before you cross the street, and there's a child that's consistently obedient to that command, and then there's a child that's consistently disobedient to that command, who's going to have the larger life expectancy? The one who's obedient to that command. It's a general principle. In general, children that obey their parents are becoming wiser. They're learning life. They're learning life skills. They're learning what is danger and what is safe. And in general, they'll have a longer life. But they'll also have a higher quality of life. Verse 3, that it may be well with you. Children, if you obey your parents, you will have a higher quality of life. You will have learned obedience. You will have learned what discipline is. You will have learned how to live life. You will have learned the things of the Lord if your parents are teaching you that, as they should be. You will learn these things. You will have a higher quality of life. As I mentioned, this is a direct quote from the Ten Commandments. And there's something I want to share with you about the Ten Commandments real quick. Most scholars divide the Ten Commandments into two tables. Table one is concerning duties toward God. Table two is concerning duties towards other. Table one, the very first four commandments are duties toward God. Have no other gods before Him. Do not have any graven images. Do not take the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day. All of these are commands towards God. Then there's the second table. Our duties towards others. It begins with what? Honor your father and mother. Honor your parents. Then it goes on to say, don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't covet. I believe that there is a reason why the honor your father and mother command is first in that second table. And I think it's because it sets a priority for a person that they will enjoy all their life. I believe that if a child can learn how to obey his parents and have a proper relation with his parents, a child will have beautiful relationships all of his life. It's a foundational relationship. If you learn it there, your quality of life will be higher. You'll get along with your spouse. You'll get along with your employers. You will know what it means to be obedient. You'll have a higher quality of life. Children, key word for you, obey. Let's move now to parents. Verse 4. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Verse 4, you look at that word fathers, and you might think or consider or believe that that just refers only to fathers, the father figure in the family. That very well may be, but let me show you something about that Greek word. The word there is patera. And in general, that word does refer to fathers. However, there are other places in Scripture where it is specifically translated as parents. Case in point, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. The Bible says that Moses was hid by his patera, his parents. And so I believe that this can be applied to parents, fathers and mothers. If fathers are just in mind here, it's certainly these principles would also apply to mothers. Parents, you have some commands. You have some expectations from the Lord placed on you and the family. Let's look at the negative command first. It says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Parents, the Bible teaches that you are not to enrage your children. You're not to exasperate your children. You're not to provoke them to wrath. Now, this seems pretty even-headed to us, I mean, in our culture, but you need to understand that in the culture in which this was written, this was a radical concept. This was a radical concept. Rome was in charge when Paul penned this letter. And in Rome, the father was the dictator figure of the house. The father could do anything he wanted concerning any one of his family members. In fact, there was a law in place in the Roman Empire. It's called patria potestas. That gave the father absolute reign over his family. He could divorce his wife. He controlled who his children married, whether or not they were to divorce, and all of this without having to appear in a court of law. In fact, it was so bad that a father could determine whether or not he wanted to keep the child if a baby was born. It was not accepted into the family. It would often be sold into slavery or even left to die by exposure. That is the environment in which this was written. And here, Christianity revolutionizes what was going on. You're supposed to take care of your children. You're supposed to consider their feelings. You, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Consider their feelings. The scholar Wood said, "The gospel introduced a fresh element into parental responsibility by insisting that the feelings of the child must be taken into consideration." In a society where the father's authority was absolute, this represented a revolutionary concept. It's not so revolutionary in our culture, but we're still warned against it, aren't we, parents? Parents, do not provoke your child to wrath. How might we do that? How might we as parents provoke our children to wrath? There's a few ways. First way, showing favoritism. Parents, we should not show favoritism to our children. We should not compare children to one another. That enrages them. Makes them wrathful. Remember what happened to Joseph? Remember Jacob and his 12 sons? And how he favored Joseph and how it enraged the other brothers so much so that they sold Joseph into slavery? That enrages them. Saying one thing and doing another. Parents, the do as I say, not as I do mentality. That enrages your child. Unfair and inconsistent discipline mixed with unrealistic expectations. Blaming and nitpicking without any praising. Overprotection, I think, is a way that we enrage our children. We keep them from so much. We keep them closed up in their house. They can't get anywhere. They get frustrated. They don't know, have any idea what's going on in the world. Overprotection. Conditional love or neglect. All ways of enraging our children. I read an interesting study. One lady in a Sunday school class in New Jersey asked 10-year-olds this question. What's wrong with grown-ups? What's wrong with grown-ups? Here were the responses by these little 10-year-olds. Grown-ups make promises, then they forget all about them. Or else they say it wasn't really a promise, just a maybe. Grown-ups don't do the things they're always telling the children to do, like pick up their things or be neat or always tell the truth. 10-year-olds. Grown-ups never really listen to what children have to say. They always decide ahead of time what they're going to answer. Grown-ups make mistakes, but they won't admit them. They always pretend that they weren't mistakes at all or that somebody else made them. Grown-ups interrupt children all the time and think nothing of it. If a child interrupts a grown-up, he gets a scolding or something worse. Grown-ups never understand how much children want a certain thing, a certain color or shape or size. If it's something they don't admire, even if the children have spent their own money for it, they always say, "I can't imagine what you want with that old thing." Grown-ups never Sometimes grown-ups punish children unfairly. It isn't right if you've done just something, some little thing wrong, and grown-ups take away something that means an awful lot to you. Other times you can do something really bad and they say they're going to punish you, but they don't. You never know, and you ought to know. Grown-ups are always talking about what they did and what they knew when they were 10 years old. But they never try to think what it's like to be 10 years old right now. We're commanded in Scripture, parents, not to provoke our children to wrath. Favoritism, unfair, inconsistent discipline, overprotection, not enough praising, that can enrage them. There's positive commands, however. You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Parents, bring them up. That's a word that means nourish them. Physically, spiritually, socially, mentally, nourishing them. Giving them things which will cause them to grow, to raise up. That's your primary responsibility as a parent, to raise up your kids. And you know what, parent? It's your responsibility. The Bible does not say, schools, raise up your children. The Bible does not say, TV, VCR, oh, video library, raise your children. You know what? The Bible doesn't even say youth group, church, Sunday school ministry, raise up your children. No, the Bible places that responsibility clearly and completely upon the shoulders of parents. You parents, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training. That's your responsibility. Now, some of you might say, I'm not a very good parent. I'm not very good with kids. Well, you better learn. Because they are your kids. They are your responsibility. God has given them to you. You're a steward of them. You're responsible for them before God. You, your children. Raise them up. It says, raise them up in the admonition and in the training. Those two words, training and admonition, can mean, they're synonyms. Did I say that right? Synonyms. They mean very closely the same thing, each one. However, training can mean correction, tutorage, nurture, chastisement. And what I would like to do is, I think that there's a specific focus on training. This first word, I think it has to do with training with action. More with action. The other word, admonition, is a word that means to put in their mind, to speak with word. I think the focus of the other word is training with words. This first term, training, training with action, it's used in Hebrews chapter 12, where it's translated as chastening. Hebrews 12:7 says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? The idea of discipline. That's a dirty word in our culture today, isn't it? In fact, folks, I know parents that are scared to death to discipline their children because of the way society has become. Parents, I believe part of our training of our children, we need to teach them obedience. Literally teach them with action what obedience is. And that requires discipline. That requires consequences to when they're disobedient. And you're required, parent. The Bible teaches that we're to discipline our children. Don't listen to the pop psychology. And I know it's hard, folks. I took my little girl to the pediatricians a couple months ago. And they're on the sign, a sign on my doctor's office. Giant sign that says, spanking never did anybody any good. Folks, these are from the authorities in such matters in our society. Listen to me. I believe that that is because of the child abuse issues that have come up. And granted, we need to be sensitive to that. The pendulum is swung from lots of spanking to no spanking because there have been child abuse cases, and I want to be very, very sensitive to that. Child abuse is not being condoned. But listen, spanking is not child abuse. You need to understand that your child needs that discipline. In fact, the Bible teaches that if you really want to abuse your child, don't spank them. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24 says, "He who spares his rod hates his son. But he who loves him disciplines him promptly." If you don't discipline your child, you're leaving foolishness in his heart. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15 says, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him." Oh, it's so important. Obey the Lord on this. We're not talking about child abuse. We're talking about simple discipline. Swats on the hands, there's places for that. The other word there is admonition, and that is, as I said, it's training with words. And really, parent, that is your basic responsibility. That is the bulk of your training as parents. You will train your children with words, most often. It is a full-time job. It never stops. It never ends. Training them with words. Teaching them life skills. You know, Luke chapter 2, verse 52 says that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. We need to teach our children that same thing. Life skills. But more importantly, we need to teach them the Word of God. Let me read to you a verse that always comes up when we speak of this. In fact, make a note of it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Folks, notice that. Diligently teaching our children. Diligently. And not just formally, in informal ways. It says as you rise up, as you sit down, as you're walking throughout the house, as you're walking on walks, as you're in the park, we're always to be instructing our children with words. I want to wrap this up. Children, one word that you need to take back from this study. God's expectation from you, obey. Obey. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor them. Parents, one word for you. Training. Training by action and training by words. Very important. God has expectations for the family. Let's follow them. Last week we noticed, and we made a note of this, marriage is a picture of Christ's relationship with the church, isn't it? Did you know that the father-child relationship is a picture of our relationship with our Heavenly Father? Think of how beautiful that relationship is, if it's working right. God has told us to call Him our Heavenly Father. We're His children. And in fact, the Bible said, Jesus said, "Those who don't come to me as a little child cannot come into the kingdom of God." Think about coming to our Heavenly Father, our Lord, as a child. You know how innocent they are? How unafraid they are? How unintimidated they are? I love it. What a beautiful picture of how we as Christians should come to our Heavenly Father. And I pray that our Heavenly Father would give us strength and wisdom to be the best parents we can. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you are our Father. Lord, and we do want to come before you this morning as just a little child, little innocent child. Coming up, sitting upon your knee, Lord, crying, Abba, Father, Daddy. Lord, I want to pray this morning, if there's anyone here this morning who does not know you as their Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that today would be their day of salvation. Heavenly Father, you are the best parent. You're the greatest parent. And I pray, Lord, that that person would come to know you as their parent this morning. That they could leave this place saying, Abba, Father. You may be here this morning and your relationship with your parents was not good. And maybe your vision of Father isn't all that pleasant. Listen, your Heavenly Father is good. He will not let you down. He will always remain faithful. So I want to give you an opportunity to run to your Heavenly Father this morning. If you have never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, if you don't know for sure whether or not you're a Christian, if you're not sure that you belong to the family of God, I'd like you to pray this prayer with me. Lord God, I want you to be my Father. Be my Heavenly Father.